Time now to check in with our state representative for our area in Connecticut, in Hartford, and that is Maria Horn. Maria, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Marshall. Thanks for having me.
And how's the first session so far been in Hartford with all the training and then actually getting right down to the work?
There's certainly a big hill to climb, lots to learn, but it's been exciting. I mean, I think there's a good feeling out there. One of the sort of crazy things about the first week and a half is that all legislative concepts have to be submitted by January 18th. And, you know, in a lot of situations, it's not the best time to submit something. But if you're going to have a placeholder for a conversation, you got to get it in on January 18th. And some of those are very detailed and narrow submissions and that have broad support, and others are very conceptual, you know, or no more than two or three sentences. So that makes for an interesting few weeks. And then we already had one session in which we passed strongly bipartisan legislation to help the unpaid federal workers, which happily we might not have to use. But
all right. So now you're getting into the grist of things. And what's interesting about what you just said about submitting legislation by a certain deadline, of course, Facebook, the Internet, blew up over the course of the past couple of days with a piece of legislation that you filed concerning Lime Rock Park. So let's go into that just a little bit.
Great. Thanks, Marshall. First of all, what the unfortunate part about it is the people felt ambushed by it because, you know, it went in kind of suddenly. And it's because it is one of those, it's just a few sentences, people interpret it in all kinds of ways. I put this in at the strong request, actually, of a lot of Salisbury residents, including our Salisbury Board of Selectmen, just to make sure that we had the conversation, because there's a lot of confusion about what there is a current court ruling in place with respect to Lime Rock, in particular, on a lot of issues, but this in particular on Sunday racing, and it's on appeal, and so I'd like to see that play out. But the current court case, there's a lot of confusion about what it holds. And among other things, that court case holds that the town can do whatever it wants on regulating race times on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. Anything. Anything that's just reasonable and, you know, accommodates the needs of its citizens. But that the state law has preempted their ability to have any say about Sunday racing. And that seems illogical to me, and if you read the court case, and it is a long and painful experience, because in part because the legislative regulatory scheme that and I use that word scheme in quotation marks that Lime Rock has been subjected to over the years is appalling. It is inconsistent, unenforced. Changed abruptly. It is. You can read in the decision the judge's just sort of disdain for the way this was managed, and you can see how, you know, Lime Rock Park might throw their hands up at the end of this and say, you know, come on, people. But it means that that combination of somewhat erratic, not somewhat erratic, regulation of the track, and an inartful amendment of the state statute governing race times creates this result. For example, until 1998, there wasn't any question about towns having the ability to regulate the time of racing at a track. It was, you know, completely in the hands of towns, and nobody questioned that. There was an amendment to the state statute in 1998, which the state statute essentially had a prohibition on any kind of racing on Sunday mornings. And so in 1998, they added language that allowed the track, or a town, rather, to decide if they wanted to have racing on Sunday mornings, they could do that. In the course of doing that, they moved some sentences around and created this ruling, which interpreted, it interpreted the change to completely remove any regulatory ability of the towns for Sunday. Although the court, as the court says, is almost an obvious aside. Of course they can do it any other day of the week, which is odd. And so for me, the question here, and I really do, you know, although I don't necessarily think social media is the best place to have this debate, I'm glad it's happening, because the question here is, is really who is the best party to decide this kind of issue and weigh the costs and benefits of you know, a significant business in the community, which brings not just jobs but tourism dollars, and against the costs. And are those costs having a hit, for example, on property values? Because let's remember that our property tax funds our excellent school system here. So there are real things to balance on both sides here, and this is in no way an attempt to take a stand on whether or not we should have Sunday racing. I think everybody in the community ought to be vociferous and speak up about what they want to happen here. But I do think that this is sort of a home rule, local control situation. And I think, to me, the town is the most obvious place to situate that decision. And I'm surprised that people would want to have the state telling them what to do on this issue.
Well, here's the one thing I think which people, and this is going to sound very unfair to people who live in Salisbury, okay, and people who live in Lime Rock. Lime Rock is such a big economic driver when it's open that the operation of Lime Rock affects other towns as well as Salisbury. And that's, I think, where the problem comes in, where Salisbury wants control of that, but other people in other towns around it that depend with restaurants, with the motels, with you name it.
Absolutely.
That's where they feel that the state, in a case like this, should come in and have as much say, if not more say, because, yes, and like I said, this is an important fact for Salisbury and the Planning and Zoning Commission and for the residents, especially the residents who live around Lime Rock Park. But it also really does affect the whole economy in Northwest Connecticut.
Absolutely, no, and absolutely, and that's some of the you know, best. I've gotten a lot of communication, and some of the best has been, I mean, the most, you know, powerful has been that. How do you bring that regional voice to this conversation? We got to find a way to do that.
You know, it is, and Curtis did send. Curtis sent both Maria and myself when he found out we were going on the air a letter. And he quotes it this way, folks. Some people have asked about my thoughts. I really don't want to, you know, get involved. But since you have Maria on, he's got a small thought, and that is, why is it such a big deal for a town's Planning and Zoning Commission to wish to have a say when a racetrack operates at a town? And, of course, you've talked about a lot of different ways. It's funny because this is something where people from other towns can talk about. And it's also pretty ruling about state rule. And what I want to point out, Maria, is that, first of all, folks, if you were to go to Maria's website and click on legislation, in no way was this hidden. Maria posted all of the legislation that she has introduced so far. And I think there's about, if I'm wrong, 15 bills that you've introduced so far.
Yeah, although there is an important distinction there that list doesn't make up. I mean, some of those are I am a co-introducer along with a wide number of other legislators who looked for other people to support their bills, and some are my bills that I initiated, with other people, and so there are a variety of there's a long list there. But
I guess what I wanted to point out is that this bill was on that list. So if you went to Maria's website and checked under legislation, the bill was there listed for people to go see. That's what I want to point out, because there were some people that said that they were trying to sneak the bill through, and it's been listed publicly. It has been listed publicly. You just have to go to the website to find it.
No, and to me, this isn't a situation that there necessarily is a legislative solution. As I said, there are just some weird results here. I mean, to your point of, Lime Rock is has regional effects. You know, it's lots of towns around here. Lime Rock benefits. They're both as business and tourism dollars. But the sort of assumption is, well, the state has weighed in and told the town they don't have any say here. But that's not what the court case holds.
Yeah.
The court case says the town has total say over every other day of the week.
it's going to be interesting to see how it works out in the Supreme Court. And you know, and I should also mention an effect on Falls Village, because you have Music Mountain in Falls Village,
yep,
as well, which operates on the weekend. So it is all a very tangled web.
It is.
You
yeah.
wish that it would have been solved by somehow both times mediating before it got to go to the Supreme Court.
Yes.
But that's where it sits. And do we have any idea when the Supreme Court will rule on this?
I don't. I've asked a couple of people in the last few days. It could take a while.
Well, I find it interesting, Maria, that you've got you're well involved now in the session. How does it feel, though, to become a representative in a state that is so behind the eight ball in deficit?
Well, and that's what, you know, I find some of the, you know, all the legislation has been proposed here. But I think my most important job is going to be what we do in appropriations, which is to say putting every single dollar we spend through, you know, some hard questions and asking every state agency and every program, you know, why they spend the money they do. Is it achieving the ends it's meant to achieve? And trying to, you know, wrestle it into control, because we have a serious situation here. And if we don't manage the budget situation with some stability and predictability for towns, for, you know, the citizens of Connecticut who are most vulnerable, then nothing else matters. So.
Well, I want to thank you, Maria, once again for taking time and joining us today on this snow day. And we hope to keep you on. We'll try to bring you on once every 4 or 5 weeks, so you can keep people updated on the radio as well.
I'd love that. Thanks, Marshall.
Maria, thank you very much.
Thanks. Have a great day.
All right. Maria Horn, our state representative in Hartford. By the way, if you missed portions of this interview, it's going to be up on our on-demand page in just a few moments, all right? So you'll be able to find it at robinhoodradio.com. Click on on-demand, click on interviews, and then you'll find Maria Horn. It will also be posted on our Facebook page in a few minutes, which is WHDD Robin Hood Radio.